102.5 The Bone wants to hear from you. Download the free Bone app and click on the open mic feature to give us any critical information you might have. Give a shout out to a first responder or health service worker. Or honestly, if you just want to hear your voice on the radio and say something stupid, it's a weird time and we're all in this together. Send us your thoughts on the Bone app and give us a heads up on where we can get some toilet paper. Thanks from 102.5 The Bone.
All right, let's go to the hotline right now. A man that obviously knows how to pronounce it because he took it and got better from it. He is a local. Let's talk to Gene Della Sala. Hopefully I said his name right. Hey, Gene, how are you?
All right, how you guys doing? Actually, I couldn't even pronounce it correctly when I did a video on it last week. I kept calling it hydrochloroquine instead of hydroxychloroquine. So it's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, my girlfriend's actually a nurse, and she said that her hospital, they call it by the name, the brand name, which is like only a couple of syllables.
Plaquenil.
Plaquenil. That's what she says. It's just easier to say that.
Plaquenil?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So
I
that's
like
what
that.
They
yeah.
call it. It's crazy. Now, first of all, thanks for calling in, Gene. Really do appreciate it. It's hard to get good interviews at night. Most people, you know, they want to act like they have lives and they go to bed and all that stuff. But we live in a different time now. What I wanted to ask first, and I read your story a little bit here. You had a stomach, what you thought was a stomach bug, which is one of the symptoms, but one of the rare symptoms. And you only got tested because you said you had an associate that had been in contact with somebody, right?
Yeah, basically, this is back in February, just to give you guys an idea of the scope of how long I've been dealing with this problem.
Gotcha.
So February 28th, I had a gentleman that's in the audio industry because I run a website called audioholics.com. So I do, you know, home theater reviews, YouTube videos, all that stuff. So he wanted to come over and check out a pair of speakers I got that I was reviewing. And he didn't disclose to me the fact that he was overseas prior to visiting. But back in February, this whole coronavirus thing was barely even spoken about
right.
in the United States. So it wasn't even something on my mind.
Yeah. So once you started feeling like crap, he tells you that, then you call your doctor and set up a test?
Actually, no. He was hospitalized. He came with one of his associates, and I literally, after he left, about 3-4 days later, I started getting the stomach cramps. Then I woke up a day after that with extreme fatigue, body pain, massive headaches, eye socket pressure, like the worst kind of flu you could think you can imagine. And I kind of endured that for about 7 or 8 days.
Wow.
Straight. Like, I had body chills, but no fever. I just was really worn out. And then, like, the next day I felt better, like good enough to be physically active again. And I was like, okay, I beat this thing. It was just a flu. I beat it. I'm better. But then I went the next day after just doing a light workout, I crashed again and I got even more sick. And I was like that for about 2 or 3 days. Like at this time, I felt like I was in a weird fog, almost like a dream, and the night sweats. And that's when I started realizing I'm not getting better. So that Monday, which was like March 10th, I believe, I was about to call my doctor. She's in Wesley Chapel. When I got a call from the gentleman's associate to tell me that he wanted to let me know that the guy that was over our house has been hospitalized. He's in critical care for COVID-19. And like my jaw just dropped at that point. I was like, oh my God, like I can't believe that this is a potential thing that I have now.
Right, right. So that's when your doctor set up the test?
Yeah, she coordinated with the health department, and at the time there was nobody really testing for COVID-19. So they made me drive all the way to Advent Health, which is in Wesley Chapel, which is about a 40-minute drive from my house. And I went there like 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock. Yeah, something 10, 11 o'clock at night. And nobody even knew what was going on. Like, I was waiting outside the hospital. I told them I was supposed to have PPE or something to protect me from everyone else. That wasn't even in place.
Wow.
So I waited a good 15, 20 minutes until somebody even acknowledged I was there. And then I went in and I just put a face mask on and I went to the front desk and I'm like, hey, I'm here for a COVID-19 test. And they just like, oh, just sit down and wait. And I'm like, really? Because
wow.
I think this is kind of like a serious thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like it seemed like we weren't prepared as a society because we interviewed the first Tampa COVID-19 patient, and she was on pretty much everybody's show because it was a big deal. And that's what she said when she had come from Italy and flew through New York. I don't know if it was LaGuardia, but she said she told them, I'm having flu-like symptoms. I just came from an area that's the pandemic. And yeah. and they there was no protocol. They said, I don't know, let's get on the
plane. They cleared her for the flight.
Yeah, let's get on the plane, go home. And, you know, so she was on the plane with all these folks. So it wasn't, and that was in, I believe, late February also, if not early March. So, yeah, at that point, like when you caught it, it was most of the medical professionals here really weren't aware of the procedure, the protocol, anything like that. So it's crazy how it kind of hit everybody and people had to start learning fast how to deal with it. And now it seems like they got a bit of a grip on how to handle it with PPE and all that stuff. But, man, that is crazy because the first thing they tell you is not to go to a hospital or anything until, you know, they have a special door for you to walk in and everybody's masked up and protected. But yeah, for them to just tell you, sit down in the waiting area around everybody else, it's pretty damn nuts. So you get the test, they stick the swab to your brain, right?
Well, yeah, but let me just back up.
Oh, go ahead.
To their defense, when they did finally call me in, they brought me into an area of the hospital isolated from the rest of the ER. And they had a special nurse just in charge for that. She had full PPE gear on.
Okay.
She was amazing. She kind of knew a little bit about this more than the other people because the first thing they did was they checked me for influenza A and B, which I tested negative for. Then they did a chest X-ray and they showed I had no pneumonia. And she's like, if you don't have any of these other things, we're researching this and finding out that people that are tested negative for all these other ailments probably likely have the COVID-19. So at that point, I was like, oh, man, this isn't good. So I was there for almost 5 hours, and they didn't give me any fluids or anything for at least the first four. And just being in the cold hospital really put me over the edge, and I started getting massive body chills. And like I told you, I didn't have any fevers for the first 10 days of this. But when I left that hospital, they let me go at 2 o'clock in the morning. I drove home with 102.5 fever, and it was not – fun.
Now, would you say this is the most sick you've ever been, like with a flu or a cold or anything? Is this like the worst?
Well, I have different biases about what I define as being sick. Nothing to me is worse than vomiting, and I did not once vomit from this.
Yeah, vomiting
to
sucks.
Me, that's a victory.
Yeah.
Vomiting is the worst. So I had a flu a few years ago that was like a whole day of vomiting. I'd still probably take this over that.
Wow.
I agree. It is the worst.
Yeah, we talk about vomiting all the time because we're a bunch of drunk idiots on this show. Yeah.
Oh, God, when it comes out of your nose, but I don't want to go there.
Wait, so how long did it take you to get the results back after you took the test? So you drive home, they let you go at, what, 2 in the morning? When do you find out that you actually tested positive for COVID-19?
Well, this is when I realized how serious they took it, because they told me it's going to take 48 hours, but they took two samples and they sent it to two different labs and they called me the next morning. So they
hustled,
put that on a Concorde or something, you know, and they got that out there because they wanted to know. And it turns out, I guess I have this on my belt now to tell my grandkids, I'm the first Pasco County resident to contract COVID-19. So I'm patient zero in this area.
Well, now, do you live by yourself? Do you have family there that you had to quarantine with?
No, I have a wife and two kids, and that's what was really challenging about this is, I'm still in quarantine, by the way. I'm still not able to, you know, hug my wife or hug my daughter. I miss dearly to do that. And I'm sleeping in my own little room. My wife treats it like a bed and breakfast. You know, she's busting her butt right now. She's making all the food. She's doing all the cleaning. She's meticulous. She's a nurse. So she's super meticulous about keeping everything separate. We're using paper plates for me. And it's been a real drain on us, but we've had a lot of community support. We've had neighbors, after they saw me on the first news interview, they were like knocking on our door and calling us and texting us, and they saw the videos they did on my Audio Hawks channel. I was just basically documenting the whole process. I did not expect these videos to blow up. They have like over 2 million views.
Yeah,
like,
man. By the way, by the way, if everybody listening, go check out his YouTube channel and his website, Audioholics. Really, really cool. I mean, me being a, you know, kind of an audiophile myself and being in radio, and I did music long before radio. I'm looking at your website and I'm like, dude, I'm into this. I'm going to check out all your reviews and everything. This is really, really cool. So
I'm going to put it on the Johnny B Show.
Yeah,
Facebook
definitely
page.
Put a link up so people can check it out. Though maybe you're going to buy some speakers or some headphones or anything like that. You do great reviews here. This is awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I think Mike Calta is a big audio kind of fan.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard from one of his shows too.
I think he has like $1 million studio at his house, so he's all about that. My buddy actually makes audio equipment that I used to play in a band with years ago and stuff, but he has Ventec Audio. They do mic preamps and things like that. So I don't know if you heard
it. Gotcha.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Vintage type of is what they're going with as far as tube compressor type stuff they're kind of recreating. Anyway, back to COVID-19.
Wait, how are you still in quarantine after, like, you said you got this in February? It's April.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Here's the deal. Yeah. They've been following me very closely because I'm patient zero, and also because my doctor, before all this happened, last year I had some blood work done, and it turned out I have, like, high RF factors, which possibly means I have rheumatoid arthritis because it runs in my family. Mm. So the fact that I might have a compromised immune system was kind of a red flag.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had positive tests every week for 35 days.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And nobody knows.
Now.
Yeah, nobody knows. No, they can't take it daily. It's like once a week I go to the health department, and literally it's in a parking lot. It feels like a shady operation. They come out, and they bring a giant stick, and they're in their hazmat suits, and they shove a stick up your nose while you roll the window down in the car.
Now, as far as hydroxychloroquine, is that why they started this drug, because of your risk factors, or because you had it as long as you've had it? Or when did that become an option, and was that something that you decided to take or your doctor?
Well, a couple of things before I even tell you that.
Okay.
Number one is nobody really knows what kind of viral load you have to have as a minimum to not transmit this to other people.
Right.
So the guidelines, what happened was the health department, when they said, if you don't have a fever for 5 days and you didn't infect anybody in your house, like my wife got tested once 2 weeks ago. She was negative, which was a miracle because she's got her own health problems.
Right.
My 12-year-old daughter had no symptoms. She never got sick. So by their guidelines, they would have said, you're free to go. Like, you could go back and not have to get a negative test result. You're fine. And that's what's happening in Europe. In Europe, they're not testing people when they recover. They're just letting them back. And that's why you're hearing all these cases of people getting reinfected.
Right.
I believe they still have a viral load going on,
mm-hmm.
and they're still carriers of this. And you're getting these people saying that there's reactivation of the virus, when I don't think that's the case. I just think they're not doing the proper exit strategy for people recovering.
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve, and it seems like it's reflective on the healthcare system in the areas that are doing these things. So, I mean, we're kind of lucky in the sense that we're learning from other countries' mistakes on some of these things, and maybe we can do a little bit of a better job here in the United States as we're learning as we're going too. So, all right. So what was
back to the drugs?
Yeah.
I have a really good doctor. She's in our family. She's a great MD. She's very close to us, and she knows my medical history in and out, and we were suspecting that I had a secondary sinus infection because I have sinus issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of talked to her and I said, if I'm going to take an antibiotic, why don't we just try the combo drug with the hydroxychloroquine? Because I know there's anecdotal evidence that it works.
Right.
But the fact that I have RA, potentially have RA, and I have an overactive immune system fighting this RA, the Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine made sense to do both of them at the same time.
So they did a combo, the Z-Pak, with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's azithromycin. I think it's a form of the Z-Pak. It's a 10-day. And the hydroxychloroquine, the thing that concerned me is it was very high dose for the first 2 days. It was like 800 milligrams. So that's four pills. And then it tapers off. You do 400 milligrams for 5 days and 400 milligrams for another 5 days. So it's like 11 days total.
They have you on a...
I didn't want to do...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I didn't want to start that way because I know that I react when it comes to like the bad side effects of certain drugs.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about the side effects on that. Like if it was something, I know they probably had to have you on a heart monitor, right?
That's the thing is, there's other than me communicating with my doctor through Messenger or through the phone, there was no way for them to monitor my heart. There was no way for them to do like an EKG or anything like that, or even take my blood pressure. So the only thing I could do was monitor my pulse and monitor my temperature, that kind of stuff, and make sure I didn't feel any palpitations. And she was checking on me daily to make sure I didn't have any of those problems. So the first day I just started with the azithromycin. Without the hydroxychloroquine. And the next day I woke up and I felt a lot less congested. I'm like, this is interesting. You know, I thought my congestion was just because of my allergies and it was just, you know, a bad time of the year.
Right.
So then that's when I decided to start the hydroxychloroquine, but I only did one tablet. I didn't want to do the four. I wanted to see how I reacted because my mom took that for years. She's got severe rheumatoid and she told me about the drug. And
gotcha.
So I just took one pill. And then about 4 hours after taking that pill, I was just helping my daughter, Tika, with some math. And all of a sudden, my hands started sweating. I started getting body sweats. And I had, like, a headache at the top of my head, which I never get headaches at the top of my head. So I called my doc. I'm like, is this a side effect of the drug? And she's like, yeah, that could be a side effect of it. You know, check your pulse, which my pulse was fine. I didn't have heart palpitations. My body temp was a little lower than normal. It was, like, 97, but still fine. Mm-hmm. So she told me, try it one more time tomorrow. And if you still get that same effect, then stop the hydroxychloroquine and just stick with the azithromycin antibiotic. So that's what I did. I tried it the next day and the effect was a lot less severe. It was manageable. I was still getting a little bit of the headache, but it was very manageable. But I started noticing I felt better. Like my congestion was getting better. And you know how when you're sick for a long time, you just wake up one day and you're like, man, something feels like different. It feels like you're almost normal again after you've been sick for a long time. It was like a switch flipped after the second day of being on that drug. And I'm not saying 100% that that drug cured me because that's not very scientific. There's not enough, you know, we don't really know if my body did it on its own or if this was just the final push to get that viral load out of my system. But I can tell you that I definitely felt better after 2 days of doing both therapies and also upping my zinc.
Yeah, that is awesome. I know that's what they say. They say, you know, zinc and vitamin C and all this, all the things that will help you fight off, you know, virus from, you know, reproducing in your system and all that. But the hydroxychloroquine, that's the most interesting thing. So you would say that you probably would have recovered without that drug, but yeah, you do give some credit to it though. You think that was probably a big help pushing you over?
Absolutely, yeah, I absolutely think that helped. I think the antibiotic in my case, and everybody's different, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not trying to give anybody medical advice. But I do think the antibiotic was a game changer for me, and I think there was possibility that there was a synergy between the hydroxychloroquine. But anybody considering that. Has to be warned that there's a pretty big severe interaction between those two drugs, and I took them 8 hours apart.
Yeah, make sure you have a good doctor. Yeah, make sure you have a good doctor like you do, directing you through the process. But man, that's crazy. So you're still quarantined right now?
I am. I took my final test. I took it on Monday, so it takes me about 3 or 4 days. So Thursday or Friday, I should know definitively if I have a second negative. And at that point, two negatives means, you know, I should be able to go back to whatever normal is after this.
That is crazy. Now, have they talked to you about scheduling an antibody test like later on, you know, to, you know, the you know, after you're negative and maybe even, you know, donating plasma, you know, or something like that, you know, being a recovered patient?
I had a company actually mail me a letter that wanted to collect my plasma, and I talked to the director of that company. And after I told them that I had RA factors in my blood, they're like, you know what, as much as we want your plasma, which I would have gladly done, I was ready to do it. they said they're concerned that it could lower my immune system by taking that out right now when I'm still fighting this off. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm probably not going to do the plasma. I do want to do the antibody test, but I'm not sure if that's even available in Florida yet or not.
Yeah, I know they're working on it, and I know that's going to be a big help with not only learning how this thing spreads, but also opening up the economy and getting people back into society once they have the antibodies in their system and don't know a lot more about it. So that's going to be a big game changer. So the more people to recover, obviously it's great that you're still here with us, but it's also great that we'll be able to learn more about how this stupid virus works and everything. Is there anything before we let you go that any advice you'd want to give somebody that if they found out that they were positive, in the next day or two, like something you could tell them that would help them out?
I mean, the biggest thing is to protect your family and anybody around you. And my wife went through so much, like any groceries that were brought into the house, she cleaned. I mean, I know it's probably extreme, but
yeah,
you don't want this spreading and you have to be strict about it. I mean, I'm very strict about this. I don't cross-contaminate any of my stuff with them. That's really important. The other thing is if you're going to try this drug, which obviously you have to do through doctor supervision, even when I get the negative test result, hopefully this Thursday or Friday, I'm finishing the cycle of this drug. I'm going to use it for at least another week till afterwards. I want to make sure that there's just no way of this reactivating. If it is working, I'm finishing the course of the drugs, especially since the side effects now are manageable. It's like not a big deal.